Welcome back. Wade Gerstner with you, joined now by Senator Jerry Moran, who is here to answer all our questions and solve all the world's problems. Right, Senator Moran?
I wish it was that easy, but I'll try to answer the questions, and we'll continue to work hard to solve the world's problems.
That sounds great. Well, I threw it out on social media asking our listeners, what did they want me to ask you? Get a pulse on our listeners. And so here's the first one, and this is coming from Bruce. Any conversation or action on the natural gas price gouging back in February? And he notes, we haven't forgotten.
Absolutely, we have not forgotten. And what a tremendous difficulty increase in price for a number of consumers and lots of businesses across Kansas back when the temperatures fell and the gas prices spiked. A couple of things. One, we have made certain that the money, the spark money, that the federal dollars, taxpayer dollars that came to Kansas can be used to pay, can be used in a way that the utility bills can, you can get assistance to pay your utility bills. That's a decision for Kansas now to make, but the COVID money, the COVID relief money that was passed earlier in the CARES Act, can now be used by the state. It could be used to pay utility bills related to COVID problems, and we made certain that the Treasury Department included in that this particular circumstance. Decision now to be made by the state of Kansas as to whether to do so. The second thing is, I just had a telephone conversation within the last 2 weeks, 10 days, with the chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. We had asked them to do an investigation to find out price gouging, collusion, anything that violated the law. And they told me that they have seen abnormal activities that are related to this occurrence, not a surprise, and that they would expect their report to be done within a couple of months. So a little bit of action doesn't mean that there's a check in the mail to anybody to help them pay their bills yet, but I agree with Bruce and to say that it has not been forgotten.
Senator Jerry Moran, our guest today here on KD Country 94. Another question from one of our listeners. They wondered about Medicaid expansion in the state of Kansas. What can you tell us about that?
Well, your state legislators could answer this better, but under the under Obamacare, now seeming like a long time ago, Obamacare allowed states to make decisions. Federal government, again, taxpayers or borrowers, would help pay states to expand Medicaid to other beneficiaries than those currently receiving those benefits. And but it's a state decision. And so far to date, Kansas has decided not to expand. I think the issue, again, it's better question for a state legislator, but the issue, I think, is, yes, there's people who could utilize assistance with Medicaid, but if we go down this path, we, the state, does it mean that we lose the chance, let me say it differently, that the federal dollars go away and we ended up holding the bag? So I think there's concern about that. On the other hand, there are people who are very interested, particularly our hospitals and other healthcare providers, who need every dollar they can get to keep their doors open. So a decision for the state of Kansas, legislator and governor.
Couple of ag-related questions for you, Senator. One of those coming from a listener we had on Facebook and said, what about protecting stepped-up basis and how important is it for passing on the farm to the next generation?
Hugely important. So in this Democrat-proposed what I'd call a spending spree, perhaps a tax and spending spree, this is this $3.5 trillion bill that's being discussed in the Senate and in the House now. So-called pay-fors, how do you pay for all that spending? Although I see that in some instances the Democrats, particularly in the House, are saying, why pay for it? But they want to increase spending, how do you pay for it? One of the suggestions in their bill, one of the provisions, was to eliminate something called stepped-up basis. And what we're talking about is it's an estate tax issue, meaning that if somebody inherits property from, say, your parents, you get a quarter section of ground from your mom and dad upon their death, you get a stepped-up basis. So if you sell that land, the value of the land is determined on the date of your parents' death, and what you pay in taxes is the difference between the value of the date of death and the increase, if there is one, up to the date that you sell it. One of the proposals is to get rid of stepped-up basis. Terrible idea. Record-keeping, how do you know what that quarter section was cost whenever your parents or grandparents bought it? And then secondly, it is so difficult to keep businesses in Kansas when we have to sell our business or our farm to pay the taxes. We often sell to somebody who takes the business someplace else, moves it out of Beloit, Kansas, or Cocker City. And so it is a very damaging thing. We ought to be doing things to reduce estate taxes, not increase them.
Another ag-related question comes from Ashley. Says, what is the plan to keep the big beef packing plants from owning or sharing feedlot operations, and why are we importing excessive amounts of beef?
Well, you know, Kansas is certainly, we talk about being the wheat state, and I'm not denying that we're the wheat state, but we're also the livestock state. This is a way that so many people earn a living, and when livestock producers are doing well, Kansas, and particularly rural Kansas, is doing well. So there is, again, goes back to maybe where we started this question, there's a couple of investigations going on at the USDA, Department of Agriculture, about the circumstances of the meat packing plants in Kansas and across the country, related to, for example, the Holcomb fire, followed by the COVID shortage, trying to determine the consequences of too few packers. That investigation, unfortunately, is still ongoing. Secondly, there's an antitrust case or consideration for a case undergoing under review at the U.S. Department of Justice, which would be an issue of whether or not there's too much concentration in the packing industry. And then thirdly, legislatively, in the Moran world, we have been successful in passing legislation and providing funding to support a person's about business's ability to either start or grow their own packing plant to compete with these large packing plants. And in Kansas, there's a couple of places where individual investors in a cooperative way are trying to expand or increase the number of packing plants we have in our country. Used to be, most of us grew up with a locker plant in town. Doesn't solve all the problems. This is a small part of the situation, but we learned in COVID those packing plants was suggesting it'd take a year or two to get a side of beef processed. Again, trying to create greater opportunities for more Kansans and to create more competition in the packing business.
Senator Jerry Moran, our guest today here on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Senator, the House voted on Tuesday to temporarily raise the debt ceiling by $480 billion after the Senate approved the stopgap measure late last week, putting off the risk of default until early December, December the 3rd. This is a question for me because I think of all of those people affected, those that work that would be furloughed if we had some kind of government shutdown or have to worry about a shutdown. And I guess to me, and you've heard the phrase many times, kicking the can down the road. So we're going to go through this whole song and dance again, it sounds like, late November into the first week of December. And I guess my question is, why couldn't we have at least got through the end of the year? Because there are so many working Americans that I got a lot of stress and a lot of things to worry about. We know the landscape of COVID and everything else. But also, you know, paying bills and trying to pay the rent. And I know people that are working and living paycheck to paycheck. Couldn't we at least have kicked the can down the road past the holidays so they don't have to stress about that before Christmas?
Wade, I mean, I trust your information, but at least what was told to us in describing this bill is, first of all, two different things. One is this has little to do with a government shutdown. It does have to do with the capacity of the Treasury Department to borrow more money to pay the bills that we are unable to pay because we spend more money than we raise in revenue. And so this is the issue of the debt ceiling, whether it should be extended. And I've tried unsuccessfully over a period of time in Congress to make certain that we do something about underlying debt and not just automatically extend the debt ceiling every time we reach it. Mm-hmm. And the other part of this is that at least we were told in the discussion of this piece of legislation that this would get us into the first of the year past the Christmas holiday. So I hope that's true. On the part of shutting down government, it has been extended. You're right, there's two bills. The extension of the government was to early December, December the 3rd, in which the federal government is funded, what's called a continuing resolution. Fund the federal government the same level of spending into the future as it is today. It saddens me that it is such a short period of time. Shutting down government has never resulted in anything good.
No.
And creates lots of chaos. But that was the decision that was made And we are in a position in which we'll have to deal with this issue again in December, sadly.
What would you say to folks out there, and I hear this a lot, and I can't disagree, is that, and part of it, of course, we get certain information depending on what media source you want to go to, but it does seem like we have elected officials, I'm not pointing the fingers directly at you, but just as a whole, saying, okay, all we hear about is bickering, pointing fingers, placing blame, and it gets to the point where it seems like it's one party versus the other, instead of perhaps compromising, or instead of doing what's best for the American people. I'm sure you've heard that.
I have heard that. Well, what I would say is that it takes 60 senators to pass a piece of legislation in the United States Senate today. There are not 60 Republicans, there are not 60 Democrats. So if anything is going to happen, it takes the cooperation. And I would say that you're right, it's hard to know exactly what's going on, who's telling us the truth, again, media sources, what we see on the internet. In the kind of day-to-day stuff, we generally are able to work together well enough to take care of the nuts and bolts of governing. It is the big items that are so difficult for Congress to agree on. And some of it is just philosophical. I mean, we have different points of view than Republicans have different points of view than Democrats. It doesn't mean that you can't find common ground. There are a few things in which there's little room to budge, but in most things, everybody needs to give a little bit to get a result. And so in most instances where I'm trying to pass a piece of legislation, in fact, really all instances when I'm trying to get a piece of legislation passed, I will have worked with a Democrat senator to work out the differences before and introduce the bill cooperatively together. So it does happen, but it's not what makes the news. The fight makes the news.
Right, exactly. All right, two quickies before I let you go. I appreciate your time. Senator Jerry Moran, our guest today on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. This one coming from a listener. What about expanding secondary education into technical and trade fields? I know you've talked about that before.
I have. In fact, you know, I just was on the campus of NCK.
Yeah.
And I've always, for a long time, have been promoting the idea that while university education is really important, we ought not underemphasize community college and technical education. It's how we're going to put lots of people to work, and it's how we're going to have lots of workers in our part of Kansas, in rural Kansas. We ought to be promoting, as a state and as a nation, technical and vocational education. We ought to do more of it in K through 12. And while I've visited a number of schools over the last few years, visiting another one today in Pratt, and what I've discovered is there is a lot more vocational and technical education in K through 12, particularly in high school, than there used to be. And that is a really good thing, and we need to keep promoting it. And Kansas has passed a law, again, it's a state legislative thing, not a federal issue, in which high school students can go to a technical college during their high school years, and begin the process of a technical education. That's good stuff. We need to make sure that we don't have a bias in which we think we have to send our kids away to a university or send them away because we might not get them back. So, again, I agree with the questioner's point of view. More technical career vocational education is important, and it ought to occur earlier, not later. And secondly, something we never talk about, we ought to also be encouraging people who would say they want to start a business, not just those who want to go to work for a business, but we also need people who are ready to. You ask somebody, what are you going to do when you grow up? And almost no one will say, I want to start my own business. That's something we need to start teaching and talking about in K through 12 education as well.
Whenever I have a guest on our sports talk show, I have an off-the-wall question to conclude the interview. I'm going to do this for the first time with you, Senator Moran. An off-the-wall question, something lighthearted. So here we go. Are you going to space anytime soon? I mean, William Shatner did. So, I mean, are you going to space anytime soon? You got a ticket to go up there yet?
I would not do that, although, no, I have no interest. I hate heights.
I do, too.
having said that, in Republican-majority days, I chair the committee that funds NASA.
Okay.
So in Democrat-majority days, I'm the lead Republican on the committee that funds NASA. I have a great interest in space. I think it's something that can excite people about science, mathematics, engineering, and research, vocational education, and I'm very interested in promoting space, but I have no interest myself in going there.
Yeah, me neither, to be quite frank with you. All right, and finally, how could people contact you or your office if they have any concerns or questions or things that are going on in the country that they would want you to be aware of?
Well, most most people now talk by email, and so the easiest way to get to email to me, go to my website. Just Google Senator Jerry Moran. My website will come up, and the email address is there. The ability to send an email through the internet, through the website, is there, and we welcome that. It's important and valuable, and I would I'd encourage people to do it. I'm also out and about. The reason that you and I are talking at this point in time is because I was in, as I say, north central Kansas this week, made a trip from Manhattan to Beloit to Norton. While we were in Beloit, had an opportunity to visit the Lions Club and community leaders and visit North Central Technical College. So I welcome that personal contact, but in the meantime, between now and when I'm in your community, make certain that we know what's going on. Please reach out in any way that you find acceptable, but the easiest way is probably that email.
Senator Moran, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Jerry Moran, Senator, here from representing the state of Kansas today on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com.